Hey, what's up, everybody? It's Dirt. Want to thank you for taking some time out to listen to the podcast of our show, brought to you by Les Schwab Tires, doing the right thing since 1952.
Did you ever find Bugs Bunny attractive when he'd put on a dress and play a girl bunny?
No.
Neither did I. I was just asking.
This is Dirt and Sprague.
Oh, yeah. Jeez. Yeah. Did we lock you in the dumpster one time?
I got out.
With Andy Dirt Johnson and Brendan Sprague.
That's somebody's daughter up there.
I was just going to say that.
Dirt and Sprague on 1080.
Dynamite drop in money. That broadcast school has really paid off.
The Fan.
Hey, let's do this. Final hour, Dirt and Sprague on a rainy and stormy Tuesday afternoon. Thanks for being with us right here on Portland Sports Leader 1080 The Fan. Get back into that Monday night game a little bit here, maybe at the bottom of the hour. The implications for both teams: Minnesota fired their offensive coordinator. Seattle seems like a lock to make the playoffs in a year that maybe some people thought that was far-fetched. Blazers back in action and a promotional item from a minor league team that we need to get to. That is all to come. I saw this headline earlier today and decided this cannot be passed up this afternoon. And it comes from Adam Ottavino.
Oh, one of my favorite baseball players.
Yeah, first fun question. Who knows who Adam Ottavino is? 55305. And he was on, so he was on the MLB StatCast podcast.
Oh, I listen to that one all the time.
It's a good podcast, and they dive in all the good numbers. And a conversation came up about Babe Ruth, old Baby Ruth, Herman. And here's what Adam Ottavino had to say about Babe.
I had an argument with a coach in AAA about Babe Ruth's effectiveness in today's game, and this was like 10 years ago. And I said, look, Babe Ruth with that swing, swinging that bat, I got him hitting .140 with 8 homers. And he's like, are you nuts? Babe Ruth would hit .370 with 60 homers. And I'm like, I would strike Babe Ruth out every time. Like, I'm not trying to disrespect him. You know, rest in peace, you know. Shout out to Babe Ruth, but it was a different game. I mean, the guy ate hot dogs and drank beer and did whatever he did, and it was just a different game.
Jesus. I love the honor and honor, respect, all that stuff. But are we buying what Adam Ottavino is selling? Could he dominate Babe Ruth in his prime?
I don't like these conversations because I think they are very unfair to the athletes that played way back when.
Babe Ruth hit .370 with 60 home runs. That's what somebody responded. You know,
that's like asking me, would Bill Russell still be as dominant a rebound and shot blocker in the NBA right now versus when he played? That's totally unfair to Bill Russell. Like, you're playing a game where you're projecting something without knowing for fact, but if you're playing the fun game, it's hard for me to really think Babe Ruth is Babe Ruth with some of the players that we have pitching nowadays. Now, is he still a good baseball player? I would assume he still gets some hits. I'm not going to call him a bum, but Clayton Kershaw against Babe Ruth? What would that, Justin Verlander versus Babe Ruth? What, Pedro Martinez versus Babe Ruth? What are these matchups going like? Do we think Babe Ruth's taking them all yard, calling his shot? Again, unfair to Babe Ruth, but
that's why it's a fun conversation, though, is because everybody kind of has that same feeling about it. Because
athletes have evolved so much, man. I love Bill Russell and everything that he has represented with the league. I think you're kidding yourself if you think Bill Russell's still doing what he did in his career in the modern NBA.
Well, it's the funny part of the conversation, too, is if those guys were in a different era, how much better could they have been? Like, if Babe Ruth didn't play in Major League Baseball in an era where he could drink beer and eat hot dogs before games and just be fat and waddle around the bases.
Yeah.
Like, he actually played in an era where exercise was important and nutrition.
They knew how to take care of their
working
bodies.
Working out, yeah. And he got bigger and he got stronger. Like, how much better could he have been playing in this era? Because if you could hit 714 home runs being a fat ass waddling around the bases, imagine what you could do if you're actually in shape and actually working out on a consistent basis. So that to me is the fun part about the conversation, because if you take him, like, I agree with Ottavino, if you take him in his shape of like the 1920s and you put him in today's day and age, like, yeah, he's probably not going to be able to hit a lot of these guys, but you also have to give him the benefit of the doubt that he would be playing in this era. You wouldn't be taking a fat, pudgy guy and just putting him out there. He would probably be in better shape and a better athlete himself.
Yeah.
So that, to me, is a part of the conversation. But it did get me thinking, what former generation of sport could hang the most with the current generation?
Hockey?
You go hockey?
Well,
that's
hockey
not a bad one.
I mean, hockey players are faster, but I just feel like the nature of the game,
the skill level, I mean, it's always there.
You
guys
still got
skillful.
A lot of guys that could probably translate skill level wise. Basketball, I will not hear it. Football, I will not hear it.
Yeah, football is too, it's two apples to oranges now because guys are too big and strong and fast.
I think baseball is kind of a mix where you get a decent chunk that could probably play pretty well in the modern era, especially in the strikeout or home run and shifting. But I think you'd also have a lot of guys who would not be what they were if they played in modern day baseball. So baseball actually to me is one of those kind of in-betweens, whereas I think basketball, no way. Football, no way. Hockey, and I'm saying this not being the most the biggest hockey fan out there, but there are elements of hockey that I think would still translate for a lot of guys.
I want to read some thoughts. Better You Today text line's getting going. By the way, yes, Adam Ottavino is he's a free agent now, but he was a closer for the Rockies. He had a really good breakout year. NOS fans know him well.
Soccer's a good one.
Soccer's actually a pretty good one, yeah. Let's see here. One of our P1 said, where did it go? This guy's an idiot. Babe, not be able to. May not be the same as he was, but he would still be really good. Let's not forget that while Yankee Stadium had a short porch, most of those stadiums were huge, and he had to hit it a mile just to get it out.
$140 is pretty disrespectful.
Yeah, I mean, that's where you lose people. Like, if you say that Babe Ruth wouldn't have been the same player.
Sure.
He would just be another good player.
I'll go there with you.
I have no problem acknowledging that. But you're saying you could strike him out every time? Like, come on. Like, there's got to be some Joe Schmoes out there that have taken Adam Ottavino deep in his career. It's like, if that guy could do it, Babe Ruth could probably hit a home run off you, Adam.
The golf one, I believe people when they, because we're in golf a lot.
Golf is, but again, you got to go
different
with technology.
How different would golf be for a lot of those old school guys with the courses nowadays?
The courses, but also the club technology, ball technology. I mean, if you have to take old guys and put them in this era, how different would their numbers have been if they played with the same clubs that Tiger Woods played with?
You'd probably lean better, right? Though, wouldn't you?
You would say they'd be better, but how much better would they have been?
Yeah.
That when you have a technology difference, I think it's an interesting comparison.
What's the biggest difference?
Football.
I do, yeah.
Because guys are just too big. Again, it goes back to, could they train to get that big? They could, but just when you look at them, like go back and watch a football game from the 1950s and imagine that guy, you know, going against Luke Kuechly.
Was there anybody in the 1950s who was so big that they had to wear a knee brace as an elbow brace? Because Tyrone Smith did that this weekend.
He did wear a knee
brace.
Pretty
sure nobody was that big in the 1950s playing football.
I'm going to read some more thoughts. These are funny. If you had seen Wilt Chamberlain play in his prime as like I did, you would know that Wilt would still utterly dominate the NBA today.
On the same level?
He was Shaq before Shaq, only more athletic and smoother.
On the same level? They would run him right off the court.
He's saying on the same level.
Golden State would play Wilt Chamberlain and he would be exhausted by halftime. That's the part of basketball. I think Wilt Chamberlain would still be a really good player, but if you're talking about the same level, I'm going to have to disagree with you there. I just think the athletes have evolved so much. And the way the game has changed, too, you're not playing inside out. You are pushing. You have tempo. Possessions have doubled. Wilt Chamberlain, if he had the time to get conditioned, may get used to it. But if you took him and he said, Wilt, you're in the year 2018 now.
Go play.
Go play a game tonight. They would exhaust him by halftime.
Yeah, somebody said, yes, Ottavino is correct. He would dominate Babe Ruth. Ruth only hit off of white guys with dead arms. I like that one. I mean, he said, do you think Larry Legend is scoring 20 points on LeBron or Durant? Nope. I think he could.
If what? Say that again?
Larry Bird could score 20 on LeBron or Durant?
Larry Bird would
thrive
in the NBA.
With his ability to score from shoot from all over the floor, passing, like he would fit perfectly
also,
in this NBA.
LeBron wouldn't be interested in playing defense at this point in his career. He would let Larry get his buckets.
Yeah, right. I enjoyed a lot of these. It's a fun debate that the Adam Ottavino stood up. So he's a free agent pitcher. He said he's had this debate with pitching coaches for decades, and not everybody in baseball feels this way. His pitching coach looked at him like he was an idiot and said Babe Ruth would hit 360 with 60 home runs if he played in this day and age of baseball. So it's not the conventional wisdom, but Adam Ottavino comes out.
Says
he would dominate the Babe.
I think there's a difference, too, between what people did back then and how they do it now. Like somebody says Walter Johnson and Bob Feller were throwing 100 miles an hour to Babe. to me, it's not just about speed, though, right? Like somebody else said, Wilt was an all-world runner at Kansas, faster than KD. But that doesn't change the fact that the game has changed so much that just because you're faster running a 100 than somebody, that doesn't mean you're conditioned to play that same style.
But the NBA is a unique one because of how different the game is. It's really the one, I mean, it's traditional big men are obsolete. You would have to be able to play a different style and brand of basketball.
Well, yeah, what would Wilt do on defense? You'd stretch him out. And
sure, you would have to be able to extend your game.
He's not clogging up the paint.
Right, I mean, just, there's not many guys like that around in the NBA anymore. Not to say that they're all gone and it's like a dinosaur extinction, but some of them, but for the most part, it's such a different game. That's why the NBA to me is a unique example. Somebody also connecting saying give Babe Ruth a bunch of steroids and see how he would do. Now that would be a fun case.
Very fair.
That would be a fun case.
Some argued though that hot dogs and beer were his steroids. They just made him better.
Somebody said, Wilt has the best cardio of anyone. 50,000 chicks. Back that up. That's a good point.
Well, to get to that number, you kind of have to.
You got to have stamina.
No, I think you need to get through them quick.
Oh, you got to get through them fast.
I think if you're going 4 to 5 a night, you're not spending 3 hours with them.
What do you think? Which generation of sport would have the best puncher's chance? Golf and soccer are both decent
those
ones.
Those seem to be the number one for
the couple. So this is Adam Ottavino. He's a relief pitcher saying that he would dominate Babe Ruth. Which sport would have the best chance? Which sport would have the worst chance going head-to-head with the past generations of like 100 years ago to this generation of today? 55305 is a better today. Text number. We'll read a couple thoughts. I also want to get to, there's a promotional item going on for a minor league baseball team. And we need to discuss this, and we'll do it next on The Fan.
This is Dirt and Sprague, gone 1080, The Fan.
Get back into that Monday night game coming up bottom of the hour. Got some poll questions on it. We'll update. Also, Blazers back in action tonight in Houston. We'll talk about that.
Houston, you have a problem.
Or do they?
Cities in town.
That's scaring anybody right now?
Oh, if they win tonight, it's going to go full board. They're back. They figured it out.
We're back. Here we go. We were talking. Adam Ottavino, free agent pitcher, came out, did an interview on the MLB StatCast podcast, and he said that if he faced Babe Ruth, he would dominate him, and he thinks Babe Ruth in today's day and age would hit about $140. So this caused quite the issue.
Quite disrespectful to
the old Babe. He said he was fat, just drank beer and ate hot dogs. You kidding me? That guy couldn't hang in this day and age.
A guy not even in majors right now is proclaiming that he'd strike him out every time. The arrogance of that statement in itself is pretty significant.
Pretty strong opinion there. And we were asking which generations of sports would fare the best. One, golf continues to be brought up. A couple of thoughts here. Golf is the best. Would love to see Arnold Palmer play with the clubs and the balls they play with today. Another one, golf. Give me Ben Hogan, a new set of TaylorMades and a box of Pro V1s, and I'd take him over the field in today's game. One sport, too, that I think we overlook just slightly is boxing. Because weight classes are weight classes. They haven't changed. Now, you know, Mike Tyson, all that kind of stuff. But you go back in the day, you had guys like George Foreman. I mean, there were massive heavyweight champions. Well, weight classes are weight classes. I think that's a great one.
That is a good one. I'd be curious. To me, Wilder is not a very technical boxer. He just goes for the knockout. Imagine Wilder against Mike Tyson. What's that matchup like?
Right.
A 6'8 guy versus what is Tyson?
I'd still
is
take
he 6'1?
Tyson. Yeah, imagine that.
Oh,
though.
You would take Tyson?
I still would take Tyson. Absolutely, I would.
Boy, that reach difference is huge,
I'd
though.
I'd still take Tyson. He couldn't even beat Fury.
Well, Tyson couldn't beat Douglas. Douglas had the height advantage on him.
Sure.
The reach got Tyson.
I think you're talking pound for pound the most dominant fighter that's ever existed.
Ooh. That's a hot take.
Mike Tyson in his prime, yes. I would take him to beat anybody.
Anybody?
I would take him to beat anybody.
Muhammad Ali?
I would.
George Foreman?
I would.
I think you're out on this one.
I would.
I think you're going to be on an island by yourself
on
that one.
I'll hang out on that island. Mike Tyson in his prime, early 1990s, before he went crazy.
Well, what hurt Tyson was he went to prison.
Sure. I mean, yeah. But even after that, when things fell off.
As in he missed a couple years.
Yeah, no, I would take Mike Tyson.
Over any heavyweight ever.
In that 4 years, 3-4 years span of his prime, yes, I would take him over any heavyweight fighter of all time.
I don't really think that's that
controversial of an opinion.
I do. I do.
Really?
Yeah, I do.
Based on what?
Who was the best fighter Tyson beat? He faced a lot of scrubs. Sure. And the argument, this is part of his legacy, right? Going to prison and being out for a few years and coming. That's part of what happened to him, and he made his own decisions there. I don't think he was really... He was a knockout guy. He wasn't going to go the distance with you. And I think there's a lot of fighters that would be able to bait him knowing what he was trying to do.
Sure.
And they would be able to take care of him.
Sure. It's easy to bait him and then he knocks you out.
Yeah, you got to hit Muhammad Ali to knock him out. I don't know if Prime Ali is getting touched by Mike Tyson.
Somebody said Prime Tyson, no question. No one ever even made it past the first round against him in his prime. Somebody said it's rare when I'm siding with Sprague over Dirt on this one. Yeah.
I think we're overrating Mike Tyson too much.
Oh, I think you're underrating him in his prime. I think you have memories of end of Tyson era, of him biting ears off and going to prison and being fat and out of shape, and the Buster Douglas fight, which I think, by the way, there's a 30 for 30 on that tonight, the 42-1.
Is that coming out tonight?
It's on tonight on ESPN.
I keep seeing commercials for it.
Yeah.
Let me look up his record real quick, because I know... Give me a second. Let me see if I can find his win-loss-wise.
I think this is now translated to a boxing conversation.
Well, he beat nobody. Like, everybody that was good that he faced, he lost to.
I don't know. I can't remember every single fight that he ever fought, so I'm not going to make a statement that he never beat anybody.
He got knocked out by Holyfield.
He did.
That was in 96, by the way.
That's after his prime.
I don't know.
After he got out of jail.
Yeah. Okay. Well, if we're...
I'm talking that 3 year span when he burst onto the scene and nobody could last longer than 30 seconds in a fight against him.
Again,
he knocked everybody out in the
Michael
first
Spinks.
Round.
Michael Spinks of the world. Where's Michael Spinks rank in the all-time boxing pantheon?
I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I'm gonna have to disagree with you on this one. He lost to Douglas. So let's see, he 87, 88, 89, he fought Carl Williams, and then in 90, he fought Buster Douglas, got knocked out. He went and beat Peter McNeely, Buster Mathis, Donovan Rudick, and then he finally faced Holyfield in 96, and he lost.
Yeah, by then it was over. It was over for Tyson by then, and he started biting ears off. His career went down the drains because he had a drug problem.
The second fight was the ear biting.
Yeah.
But I just don't think Mike Tyson... I respect Mike Tyson a lot. We had a lot of fun with that gorilla conversation.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm actually pretty surprised. Of all the heavyweights ever, you're still taking Mike Tyson.
I would. I would pick him, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, I'm not saying he knocks him out in 10 seconds.
Oh,
but
I know. Yes, I know what you're saying. You're still picking him to win.
I think he's the most... I think pound for pound, the most dominant fighter we've ever seen. Strength and everything that goes into it.
We will agree to disagree on that.
Okay,
one.
We can. I do want to get to this quickly. By the way, there's a promo going on for an independent baseball team that we need to get to. So Joe found this from Darren Ravel. It's a team called the Railcats.
Okay.
They are the Gary South Shore Railcats.
Yeah, represent Gary, Indiana.
Gary, Indiana.
Home of Michael Jackson, actually. Hometown.
Really? Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, fun fact. They had a ticket promotion where a lucky fan is going to get signed by the team to a contract. He's going to get a uniform, and he's going to throw out the first pitch in a game. Not the ceremonial first pitch. The legit first pitch of the game. It's a home game. He's going to be in his uniform. He's going to take the mound. He's going to be announced as your starting pitcher for the day.
Yeah.
And he's going to throw the first pitch to a live batter on another team of the game. And they just announced their winner. Tom Bylick of Hammond, Indiana is your lucky winner. So Tom's going to strap on the cleats and head out to the mound.
How do you spell his last name?
B-Y-E-L-I-C-K. Bylick. He's going out there, throwing out the first pitch.
I found him. I found him on Facebook.
You got him on Facebook? Tell me he's a fat middle-aged man.
Is he
a big boy?
He's not super big.
Okay. Is he going to be throwing an Ephus pitch out there?
Because yeah. The question now becomes, because I'm reading the responses to this Darren Revelle tweet and they're hilarious. What do you do? What's your plan of action here?
Well, you're going to allow him to throw a pitch and not swing.
See, no, I think the other team should be allowed to swing. If this is a promotion that a team is putting on, are you kidding me? I have a chance to hit a solo home run on the first pitch of the game, pad my stats, get out to a 1-0 lead. I'm jumping at that opportunity.
How are you feeling if you hit a line drive into his face and Tom has to go to the hospital?
Tough luck, Tom. He signed the waiver, buddy. Welcome to the big leagues, or in the independent leagues, I guess he would say.
Thought you could be a pro athlete, huh, Tom?
Well, you throw fastball, changeup, curveball.
You go fastball.
Do you bean the guy?
No, you go fastball.
You try and dare it, like, open up a brawl?
Dude, I almost contemplate going trash talk and going, hey, I dare you to hit this cheese. Try to hit the heater.
Bring it.
Try to hit the heater.
I'm playing all the possibilities out of my mind, and this is just fantastic.
This is taking promotions to a crazy. They must have a real tough time selling tickets or getting people interested in it to give away an actual first pitch of a game. And I'm going to be so upset if the guy doesn't swing. If the player on the other team just stands there.
I have a feeling he's going to allow the guy to just throw a pitch.
I hate that. Like, they do that, like, first pitches of certain, like, ceremonious games, like first pitch of the season.
Pitch of the new stadium is what I hate the most.
You take it, and they throw the ball away. It's like, dude, he just grooved a fastball. Like,
pipe it into the stands.
Right? Swing as hard as you can at that thing.
Yeah.
There's no gimmies out here. Come on now.
I'm with you in the majors. I think in the minors, a promotional stunt like this, they're going to have an agreement with the other team of, let him throw the ball.
Can the Portland Pickles do this? Can I try this? Strap on a uniform? Should I throw a curveball? Go fastball?
Would you be willing to?
Hell yeah, I'd give it a shot.
You'd sign the waiver and everything?
I would sign the waiver.
Yeah, would you tell him to swing, like, on the mound?
Yes.
Like, you better swing at this.
That would be hilarious to give up a home run in a game like that. Like, that's not a knock against you. You have nothing to lose in this situation other than getting drilled by a line drive.
This is a good point. What if he gets a strike? Do you leave him in?
Just 96 mile per hour heater down the middle.
Pump some heat. You sign him. That's rookie of the year. Not rookie of the year. What was
Dennis Quaid?
Dennis Quaid movie. Yeah. What was that? The rookie.
He's like the math teacher,
baseball coach. He shows up to the tryout and he's pumping 95. Got to sign this guy.
Yeah.
Get him a contract. Come on.
Just hits him with the nasty 12-6 curveball. Gets the guy buckling in his knees.
I think I would try and throw a curveball. I think that would be my game plan. Like, he's going to be sitting up there, and you just try and throw something that moves and hope he pops it up or something. That would be my game plan. So the Gary South Shore Railcats of Gary, Indiana, they have auctioned off a ticket promotion to allow a fan to throw the opening pitch of a game, not a ceremonious first pitch. The opening pitch, and Tom Bylick of Hammond, Indiana, is officially your winner. We'll read some thoughts at the Bet U Today text line on the other side. Also, got some poll questions on Seattle and Minnesota following that Monday night game last night. We'll get to that coming up next. First, here's Joe with SportsCenter.
I see a little silhouette of a man.
Scaramouche, Scaramouche, will you do the fandango?
Thunderbolts and lightning, very, very frightening me.
This is Dirt and Sprague, Gone 1080, The Fan.
Somebody's got the master plan. Master the knuckleball, throw a filthy one, last thing the batter would expect. What if a guy actually does throw a decent miles per hour and he beans you? What if he hits like 86 and he drills you on the upper back? Would you charge the mound and beat him up?
No, because
that hurts. Have you ever been hit by like an 85 plus mile an hour pitch in the back?
Look, they all hurt, but I think players at a certain level, like 85 to them it's acceptable. It's acceptable enough to go, oh, this guy's not a real baseball player.
And I don't know about the Gary, Indiana Railcats. I don't know if many guys are topping 85 in that league.
You're disrespecting the Railcats now.
I am. I don't think the Railcats can hang in any other league. They're in their own league. So that was a fun one to talk about. Sticking with baseball, by the way, briefly, I do want to get to the poll questions here in a moment. There was an update today. We're always interested in baseball news with stadiums and stuff, and we haven't heard anything official on the A's. Remember, they released the rendering, said this is the plan. We want to build it here. They want to buy the Oakland Coliseum site. They had their whole plan put together, but they haven't actually purchased anything yet. So we'll keep you up to date on that. But the other team that everybody does have their eye on in Major League Baseball is Tampa, and they were working towards, reportedly, this stadium deal, and they felt like they were making some progress and it was going to be done in 2023. And here we go. The Rays feel like they're going to stick around. Well, this whole plan has crumbled and fallen apart, and the ownership group had to come out and basically acknowledge it today at the winter meetings. And they were keeping Rob Manfred, Commissioner of Baseball, in the loop on all of their progress and attaching him on emails and letters and all this kind of stuff. And he sent a letter today that's not a real positive for Tampa. So
I think he crapped all over Tampa today.
Yeah, so he in the letter, he said, you know, I'm puzzled to the decision for you to inject me publicly into the process with only 20 days remaining in the three-year negotiation period before the Rays have to provide a response to the city of St. Petersburg. Nonetheless, I have reviewed the contents of the letter. Because the letter is only a framework lacking specific details that would be necessary for me and my staff to begin to understand the merits and feasibility of the proposal and the actual level of commitment being offered by your client, it is very difficult for me to take any position at this time. I have shared this concern with Mr. Sternberg. For example, the proposal as set forth in your letter lacks, among other things, the following. And he bullet points seven different things that they don't have. One, public commitment, a firm commitment to provide or arrange at least $475 million in public funding. Mm-hmm. Two, private investor commitments, actual commitments from private investors, including specific mechanism for addressing any shortfalls. Three, a feasible financing plan, specificity and clarity with respect to the viability of a financing plan, including details with respect to the process for securing any necessary approvals. Four, uncertain timetable. Five, projection completion date. Six, site control assurances that your client has full control of the site. And seven, project costs. Certainty to as to how increased project cost due to delay will be addressed.
So literally the whole thing is a disaster idea, and Rob Manfred doesn't accept it.
They have nothing going for them. The plan has fallen through, and Rob Manfred just took a big old steamy dump on
him. Can you please explain something as a big baseball guy on the show? Why does Rob Manfred and Major League Baseball continue to lie to themselves about what Tampa is?
I don't know. I don't think that's a baseball problem. I think that's a sports problem, and I wish commissioners were more willing to acknowledge failures.
Yeah, like this whole, well, it looks bad for the league if they move cities. Who cares?
Look at the Chargers right now.
Go to cities that care.
Prime example of this. Why can't the NFL just say, you know what, we screwed the pooch on this. Nobody cares about them. They're an irrelevant team in Los Angeles. Why do we want one of our teams to be in an irrelevant city? Send them somewhere where somebody wants them. I wish that would happen in all of sports.
The Pelicans in New Orleans.
The Rays example, in baseball. Yeah. There's too many hockey teams to count of cities that just don't care. Nobody goes. No investment from the community in them. There are cities around the country that would love to have those teams. Go find them.
Does this change your opinion about Tampa at all? In terms of getting a relocation?
I've never felt Portland? Like Tampa was going to stay. I always felt like they're going to move. The only question,
they would stay. They'd go to Montreal.
That's the thing,
and the stadium's already there.
Because the stadium is still an old one in Montreal. They haven't built a new stadium yet, which
was
the reason
they built the new one.
They initially left. They still have to figure that out in Montreal. So, but yeah, I mean, the logic there has always been: why would a team from Florida move to Portland? It's going to throw off alignment, you know, all that kind of stuff. But I guarantee you, the Portland Diamond Project is in contact with the owners with this stuff of saying, "Hey, we're further along than you are."
So they just like make renderings, like Tampa Bay just made renderings and submitted them with nothing behind it. Like,
essentially.
Like they said, the seven things.
This is what we're going to do, and we're going to put it, and here it is. And Rob Manfred is like, all right, well, you got nothing that we need information-wise. This is all terrible.
It was a lesser of what Oakland did. I mean, because Oakland has the plans, but they are negotiating with the property, and I mean, they're trying to make that thing happen. And baseball hasn't come out with any sort of negative comment on that. This one was similar, but just not as far along. They just said, where we want to build it. This is our plan.
Yeah.
We're going to bring all this money. And they're like, wait a minute. You don't actually have any plan whatsoever to get the stadium deal done.
I don't know what their solution is then.
Move them.
But he doesn't want to do it.
I know. But at some point, you're going to get to a rock and a hard place where you have to make a decision. Because Manfred's not going to let this drag on
for a
decade.
So why not do that now? Why not say, you guys can't get it together? We want to go to Montreal, and you allow whoever that group is in Montreal, because clearly they have somebody willing to spend money there, right? Otherwise, why is he listing Montreal?
Right.
You don't just say it because you like the city of Montreal. You say it because you think you have a relevant type group along the lines of a Portland Diamond project. Now, if I'm off on that, that's fine. But I think the overall larger picture is if you want to go to Montreal and you think they'll support Major League Baseball and you don't see any way they're going to get a deal done in Tampa, I don't get why you would just figure this out now and allow Montreal to build a stadium in the next 2 to 3 years.
Yeah, I know. They need to, and this is where I think Portland news has been good for both Oakland and Tampa in the regard, is that it's going to force their action. Like before, Tampa and Oakland have been allowed to kick this can down the road for how many years? How many years have we known both the A's and the Rays need new stadiums? This is not new. We've known it for 15 years, since the Rays have been in existence.
I mean, really, since the Rays started baseball, we knew that stadium sucks.
That stadium sucks. Yeah. This is not a long-term viable option. Nobody goes. Nobody cares. Like, no, this is not going to work down there. But now that you have a sense of urgency from Major League Baseball, now that you have cities like Portland and others, maybe a Montreal being aggressive in their pursuits of bringing a team in, it forces the action of those cities. They realize that the clock is ultimately ticking on this. I'm with you, though. I wish Major League Baseball would just step in and say, you know what? Didn't work. Sorry. We're going to move you to a city that cares. We're going to find an ownership group, or you can own the team and move them. Do whatever you want. But it's just not going to work in Tampa Bay, because I think even if they get a new stadium, it's not going to work in Tampa Bay. We've seen that with Miami.
Right.
Miami's whole thing was, we need this new shiny stadium, and then people will come, because they used to play their games at the Dolphin Stadium. It was one of those converted football field, baseball field things. Terrible location. Let's build a new stadium. People will come. Nobody cares.
Yeah.
Nobody cares about baseball in Miami, and nobody will in Tampa either. So MLB Commissioner Rob Manfred releases a letter to the Tampa Bay Rays, essentially saying, you guys don't know what the hell you're doing, as their latest stadium deal has fallen apart.
So what's the prediction with the Rays for you?
I think they're going to move. I just don't know how long it's going to take for Major League Baseball to finally force their hand. So there's your MLB relocation update, as Rob Manfred not happy with what's going on with the situation.
Yeah, we had a listener, Daniel, tweeted us, a news anchor in Indy named Phil Sanchez.
Uh-huh. Hey, Phil.
He quote tweeted and tagged us and said, this is what Phil Sanchez said, I would love to see Indy get an MLB team, but that probably won't happen. So here are the cities that could see the Rays moving to Nashville, Charlotte, Vegas, in Portland.
Yeah. I think the location thing, baseball eventually is going to expand and realign. Rob Manfred's talked about it, and we've discussed it on the show. Like, it's going to be fun when ultimately you add the Oakland and Tampa situations are settled, and then you get two expansion teams. It's going to be cool. But I think in the short term, maybe it doesn't matter. Maybe I'm wrong on that, because I don't know. But in the short term, I would think that Major League Baseball would like to keep those intact for now before they expand.
I just wish they wouldn't have done George Steinbrenner a favor and put some baseball team that nobody cares about in Tampa, because the Yankees are always there.
I mean, it's a second home game for Yankees. Yep.
Yes.
All the Yankee fans have moved down.
It's the only reason they exist.
Yeah, Florida has too many sports teams. Move the Rays out of there. Boom, problem solved. Let's get to the poll questions. We didn't do that in this segment. We'll answer those on the other side. Also, the Blazers back in action tonight. What would have win in Houston. I mean, close up the show there next on The Fan.
Tell me something good.
This is Dirt and Sprague, Gone 1080, The Fan.
Tell me something good.
Well, I'll tell you something good. Right now, to caller number one. First caller, you win a family four-pack of tickets to Session 5 of the Les Schwab Invitational, presented by Express Employment Professionals, 503-250-1080. First caller, family four-pack of tickets, Session 5 of the LSI out at Liberty High School, Friday, December 28th. Tickets available at leschwabinvitational.com. Boom, we'll have some more of those to give away as the week goes on. It is crazy, and a listener texted this in, when you think about the amount of professional sports teams in Florida.
Mm-hmm.
It's mind-boggling to me. And you can argue that almost all of them have terrible followings. Marlins, Rays, Heat, Magic, Jags, Dolphins, Bucks, Panthers,
wow.
Lightning.
You're disrespecting a couple of those teams.
I would say the two that I wouldn't argue have terrible followings are the Dolphins.
Yeah, I think the Dolphins have a good following.
And the Bucks.
No.
You don't think the Bucks have a good following?
No, I
would say the Bucks have a better consistent following than any other team on that list.
Ooh, more than the Magic?
The Orlando Magic?
It's their only thing. I mean, I think they just got MLS, but that's their thing. I mean, they're the Portland of the Southeast.
Anybody go to those games? I mean, don't you have to go to games to care about a team?
I don't know. We didn't go to games for like 4 years here. Does that mean we didn't care about the Blazers?
Take a guess on where the Magic rank.
On attendance?
In attendance.
Now, what are you going here? You know there's a different... There's a couple
I will
different...
go on percentage
Thank
of
you. Percentage
Phil.
Of Phil. Okay. I will go. They are 23rd. And I do not have the list in front of me, so I'm guessing.
22nd.
Okay.
They were behind the Pelicans.
Yeah. Better team.
Sure.
Hey, come on.
The only teams that have worse numbers, and they're at 87%, which is still BS, but everybody's numbers are BS.
The Magic are 87%?
87% full.
Oh, okay.
The teams worse are the Grizzlies, Hornets, Wizards, Suns, Hawks, Nets, Pistons, and Timberwolves are bottom.
I think there's a few teams.
You think people care about the Magic in Orlando?
I do.
That's a hot take today.
I believe. Well, hotter take. You picking Tyson or me going Orlando Magic? I don't know.
More people will agree with me on that one than you.
On what?
That Tyson would win over the Magic having a good fan base.
That your take is more accurate?
That my take is more accurate than yours.
No.
There were a lot of people that agree with me at the Better You Today text line.
I don't think there were a lot of people. I think there were a couple people that didn't.
Go read it.
That overrated Mike Tyson.
Go read it.
The Orlando Magic thing is interesting because you named, I think, at least two or three teams that you would have never picked have less attendance percentage than them. Memphis is having a damn good season.
Memphis, I wouldn't have guessed, but every other team I would have.
Detroit?
Yeah.
Detroit has nothing. I mean, the Pistons might be their thing right now.
The Timberwolves are a dumpster fire. The Nets, nobody cares about the Nets. The Hawks are one of the worst teams in the league. The Suns are the worst team in the league. The Wizards, nobody cares about the Wizards. Ooh. And my brother lives in Charlotte, and I know nobody cares about the Hornets. So, not shocked by any of those teams.
I think you got to admit you're surprised by Memphis.
I am a little surprised by Memphis.
The Grindhouse. Memphis has claimed that they love the Grizzlies. They're having a good season, and they're still not showing up as much as Magic fan.
I also think that will change as the year goes on if they keep playing this way. Because Memphis was terrible last year.
Yeah.
Like, they were an awful team. People thought they were going to blow it up. I never thought you would defend the Orlando Magic fan base. I didn't know that was a thing for basketball
guys.
Well,
I just don't think every team in Florida is irrelevant. Like, I do think they have a couple teams that are worthy of a following.
Okay, I'll give them a couple. I'll give them
two or three. And the Miami Heat fans are one of the best front-running fans in sports.
That doesn't count. Heat fans are terrible. They left an NBA Finals game early. That you lose all credibility when
you do Seahawks
that.
Well, the Seahawks left an NFC title game early.
As championship, actual championship, different. Come on. Different. They left an NBA Finals game early.
They left an NFC title game early.
They didn't leave the Super Bowl early. Let's get to the poll question, shall we? At Dirt and Sprague on Twitter. Seahawks won. They're 8-5, nearly a lock to make the playoffs. Just need one more win. How far would they go this year? The top answer, 45% of you saying they'll lose in the divisional round. So you like their chances to win that wild card matchup. Looks like the matchup will either be Chicago or Dallas in the opening round on the road, potentially. And granted, that could change in the next couple of weeks.
Which team do you give a better shot against? I'll go Dallas because I think Dak.
That's a really tough one.
Chicago in Chicago.
Trubisky's not that good.
I know he's not that good, but that defense at home is.
Are we forgetting what Dallas' defense just did in New Orleans at home? Both have performances like that in the last week and a half.
There's something about Dak. That I'm sorry, Dallas is on a great run. I don't know.
Yeah, because Dallas and Seattle have the tiebreaker, but Dallas would host it because they're a division champ.
Dak's played one playoff game, right? Am I wrong on that? Because they won their division and they lost their first game,
They
right?
went to the divisional round and they lost to, I want to say it was Green Bay that went in there and beat them 2 years ago.
Pristine conditions in that stadium, whereas you go to Chicago and you could have snow, freezing, going to be hard to move the ball. And again, Khalil Mack, I'm not trying to shortchange Dallas' defense. It's pretty damn good itself with DeMarcus Lawrence. Randy Gregory's come on, and you got that kid from Boise State at linebacker, and their DBs are pretty good too. But I don't know. The conditions in Dallas would be perfect, whereas you go to Chicago and you add the weather element.
Yeah. So those are the potential matchups. That's one. Another one we asked is Kirk Cousins a franchise quarterback? I didn't know, not even a definition of how you would label a franchise quarterback. 75% of you say no, he never has been. 25% say yes, of course he is. Then Sprague wanted to ask, is sour cream the most underrated condiment? And 71% of you said, what? No. No, it is not the most underrated.
It got
underrated.
To 71 no.
71% no, 29% are gross and like sour cream.
Wait, those aren't the answers. It was a no or yes.
It was a yes or no. And 29% of people like the gross sour cream.
Yeah.
Sour cream's disgusting. That's my final hot take of the day.
I didn't do that. I didn't do that for any particular reason. You were just like, I don't know any more poll questions.
Yeah, I need a poll question
and
today.
I remember last night I had a dabble of sour cream on a enchilada.
Thought it was tasty.
And I was like, you know what? Sour cream mixed in with this red sauce is pretty perfect. I was like, maybe we don't appreciate sour cream enough.
Did the Blazers win tonight in Houston?
No, Bob. I believe Houston, who's coming off a heartbreaking loss against Luka Doncic and the Mavs, playing at home.
They've lost three in a row, Houston has.
Well, they're 11-14.
Yep.
They're slightly better defensively, and that's slightly. But they're playing at home. Portland as a road team always makes you nervous. I'll take Houston to win.
We'll see if they get the win. 15-11 Blazers. It's on NBA TV tonight. You got one of those games. Houston is a 6.5-point favorite. So that tells you what folks think of the Blazers. If you missed it, we had Phil Steele on for a half hour today. Go catch it. Les Schwab Tires Podcast. 1080thefan.com. We will talk to you tomorrow at noon. Thanks for being a part of our Tuesday, everybody. Number one's next. Listening to 1080 The Fan.